Good singing. You may be seated.
All right, let's go ahead and take our Bibles and let's go to Matthew chapter number 22 tonight. Matthew chapter number 22. Sir Edwin Landseer was one of the most famous painters in the Victorian era. His talent developed early, and he had the first showing of his work in the Royal Academy when he was just 13 years of age. He was commissioned to do a number of official portraits of the royal family and even gave private drawing lessons to Queen Victoria and Prince Albert. But he was best known for his depictions of natural settings and life in the Scottish Highlands. One day, as he was visiting a family in an old mansion in Scotland, one of the servants spilled a pitcher of soda water, leaving a large stain on the wall. While the family was out for the day, Landseer remained behind. Using charcoal, he incorporated the stain into a beautiful drawing. When the family returned, they found a picture of a waterfall surrounded by trees and animals. He used his skill to make something beautiful out of what had been an unsightly mess. Just like Landseer, God can take a life, no matter how much of a mess it is, and change it into something very beautiful and very useful. Recently, we began a new series I entitled Transformed Through Truth, or Transformation Through Truth. And our desire is to discover how God can change our lives from the inside out. Let's pick it up in Matthew 22 here, in verse number 36 through verse 40 tonight. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Tonight, as we continue our series, I want to talk about our vertical relationship. Our vertical relationship and how that impacts our change, or how it changes us, or is part of the change process. So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer first. Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for the folks that could be here tonight. Do pray that you would bless now and speak to us through thy word, that you get glory out of our time tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when we got saved, God wanted us to come to him as we are. I talked about that last time, is that God had us come to him just as we are. We didn't have to try to clean ourselves up. In fact, God doesn't expect us to come all cleaned up to present ourselves before him, because he knows that within us dwelleth no good thing. In fact, Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as a what? Unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. God knows, in essence, what kind of mess he's getting himself into when he accepts us at salvation. Romans 3:10, we're familiar with the fact. The Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. So instead, what God wants is for us to be willing to agree to allow him to change us. That's part of the repentance aspect of salvation. Acts 20, verse 21, we're familiar with this verse. The two tenets of salvation are mentioned here. Repentance toward God is the first one that Paul mentions. Repentance toward God. In other words, when we come to Christ, we are willing to admit that we're wrong, and we're willing to go in a new direction in life. And that direction is towards God himself and his standards of righteousness and holiness. We came to realize we are a sinful mess, but we desire to be reconciled with God. And afterwards, God guides us in a new direction. A new direction that is far more pleasing to him. And for someone to be saved, they must, of course, be willing to repent. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That's why it's more than just, you know, saying a little prayer or asking Jesus to come into my heart. It's understanding that, okay, if I'm going to be right with God, I got to be sorry for what I've done, but I got a desire not to want to offend him again. That's a big thing. You can't say, well, I want all the benefits, but I don't want to change my life. I don't want to go in a different direction. You're not ready to get saved yet because you don't realize how detrimental and how horrible that sin is. It's a very critical part, sometimes not very well understood by some folks. But we admitted we need to be changed at salvation. We admit that we need to be changed, and we can't do it on our own. We need the help of God. And after salvation, God says, okay, he begins to do a good work in us. That work is called sanctification. Sanctification, which means he's going to transform us from the inside out so that we are not the same person we once were. We instead become the people he wants us to be. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. This is really a key verse in all of this, in this series, is that we are conformed to the image of his son. In other words, transformed, molded into that likeness, his character, so that we think, act, and talk just like Jesus. The mark of a truly saved person is the transformation that begins to take place in their lives that they couldn't do before. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's the mark of a truly born-again Christian, is that they do begin to change. And it goes at different rates for different people. It's not, some it goes faster, some it goes slower, but there is gradual change into more Christ-likeness. The best way we can change is, or the best way we can change is our the best that we can change personally is our outward actions, but God wants to go deeper and change our inner motivations. Those inner changes at the heart level are more genuine, substantial, and pleasing to the Lord. In other words, God just doesn't want us to change the outside. He wants to start from the inside, and it works its way out. Because that's more genuine, that's more substantial, and that is what pleases God the most. Sometimes we recognize areas of our lives that need change, and sometimes we don't. Know this, God knows the areas he wants to change within us, and will work to bring about those changes in each of our lives. Often change, though, begins when a problem presents itself. You look in the scriptures, God often begins his best work with a problem. And that is true on a personal level even. Oftentimes when problems come up, God is working to change one or more areas of our lives to conform ourselves to his mold, of course, Jesus Christ. Think about it for a little bit, just as a couple examples. Do you have an enemy or enemies in your life right now? It could be that God is teaching us to respond biblically to difficult people. Do we have financial problems now? Could it be that God is trying to change our spending habits and make us better stewards of his finances? I mean, we go down the line of different things where we have problems, and it's usually because God's trying to fix something within us. He's trying to fix something within us. When it comes down to it, all change is simply the result of us getting in line with what our text today is teaching us. To love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and of course, strength. Areas that need to be changed in our lives are simply areas where we don't align with our text. Where we're not loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Something else is in that position, in that particular area of life. How do we know what those areas are that need to be changed? Well, it's pretty simple. What areas are you and I struggling with? What areas do we struggle with? What causes us the most inner turmoil in life? What causes fear to well up in our heart, or anger, or depression, or stuff, all those negative emotions? What are those things? I'll tell you what they are. Those are the areas we are not in line or submitted to God in. It's pretty simple. It's just areas that we're not submitted or aligned with God in. And guess what? God is going to work to change that to where we do get in line in those areas. And when I say get in line, it almost sounds a little bit like pushy. All right, get in line, kind of, you know, like a drill sergeant putting you back in line or something like that. No, I'm not. He doesn't work like that at all. God is trying to change us for our own good. And that's kind of the whole hope that we understand tonight, is God's trying to change us for our own good, for our own well-being. The inner turmoil that we experience and all those negative emotions, that's torturous, isn't it? It's torturous to be fearful. It's torturous to be depressed. It's torturous to be angry. I mean, it grinds on your inner spirit, doesn't it? And none of us like to feel those ways. I don't. And I imagine you don't either. Nobody celebrates those types of emotions. And God wants to work those things out for our own good. That inner turmoil that we experience will rob us of the abundant life Jesus talked about in John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Can I ask us tonight, what is robbing you and I of victory? What's robbing us of all that stuff? Well, that's an area that needs to change. Point blank. It's got to change. Or else we're just going to constantly be robbed. Robbed of joy, robbed of peace, robbed of daily life. I think most of us understand this. Life is ticking by, isn't it? And the older you get, the faster it gets. How many days of our lives are we going to be spent wound up in fear, wound up in anger, wound up in depression, wound up bemoaning something in our lives? Do we want to live that way every single day? Or most days? It's not every single day. 5 out of 7? Is that what we want? It's not a bad ratio, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. 5 out of 7. I can't do the math how much of a given year that is, but it's a lot. Let's just put it that way. I'm just saying, you know, if there's some things causing us problems, it's just wise to think, you know, yeah, maybe something needs to change. And heaven forbid it would have to be me, right? Heaven forbid that it would have to be me that needs to change. But I'm just here to tell us tonight, it is you and me that does need to change. I know that's true because that's what it is in my life. We all have to change. And we can sit there and grind axes with God for the rest of our life, but all we're going to do is waste our life and what we could have had. We could have experienced how God could have used us, but we are just so stuck on some of these things that we just refuse to let God change us in. And the question becomes for us, you know, what holds us back? See, God doesn't want us to be a crabby, defeated Christian. He doesn't want us to be a crabby, defeated Christian. That makes him look bad, doesn't it? And that doesn't help us. Again, we often think that God needs to change the horizontal situation for things to get better. And things will be better if he just changes the horizontal. But guess what? God probably won't do that. You're not going to do that until he changes me and you. Until he changes me and you. And it doesn't matter how long it takes. God's got all the time in the world, all the time in eternity. You and I don't. So, I mean, I'm talking about some things that need to happen in our lives and maybe need to really consider, because it's just like, whoa. Because we can waste a lot of time if we don't. See, we often think God needs to change the horizontal situation, everything will be better. In other words, I'll get what I want. But he doesn't do that until he changes us and gets us aligned with him. I remember years ago wanting something pretty bad, and I prayed about it and did everything I could to try to bring it to pass. And at every turn, I was frustrated. This didn't work. It didn't matter how much I begged God and all this kind of stuff. And finally, after a couple of years, I began to say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent of this. And I laid it on the altar. You know why? Because I kind of finally came to the end of myself. And I realized, okay, I'm not winning here. I'm not winning. And by the way, you and I are not going to win against God. Now, we talk about some children having an iron will. You want to talk about having an iron will, you go up against God. That doesn't work very well. He's got a will that nobody can break. But sometimes we challenge him. And God says, all right, I'm up for the challenge. How long do you want this to go? Until we finally get to the sick of it and say, all right, I'm going to change. I'm going to change. I'm going to let God change me. That's where it all starts. It's kind of when you get sick of it being the way it is in that particular area of your life where it's like, okay, I give up. I'm going to finally just kind of put this down and I'm just going to change. Change often begins when we're tired of fighting God over the issue, whatever that issue might be. We're finally tired of it. I remember that was true for me. I was finally just tired of it. And I remember having a friend talk some sense into me about what I was struggling with. And it was just like, and this person said, you know, is this worth it? And I finally came to the point, well, I guess it's not. It's not worth being all cranky and worried and stressed and concerned about this. And I finally put it down. Man, it was almost like I got saved all over again that night. It was a nice release. Did you have struggle after that? Yeah, for a little while. I mean, it was still those thoughts still came up, but I remember I'm like, no, I'm not going back on this. I spent the last couple of years struggling with it. Why do I want to go back to that? See, it wasn't until I got right with God, aligned with Him, that God began to even change my situation. See, when we get right with God, what we are doing is realigning ourselves with our text. And the result is change from the inside out. And that's what God wants to do in your life and in mine. Changes from the inside out. One author put it this way, all change is greater or lesser love towards God. Think about what that means for a little bit. All change is greater or lesser love towards God. Obviously, the more love that we have towards God, the more we're aligned with Him. The less love that we have towards God, the less that we're aligned with Him. Very simple. Simple stuff. In essence, what I'm communicating is that our vertical relationship is essential to the change that we need to see God do in our personal lives. Secular counselors tend to ignore this aspect because they don't believe it's important. Or if they do, the best suggestion is that a person seeks a higher power they can give credence to. But we know differently because we know the scriptures that God is an entity and our lives are to be aligned with Him. And when our lives are not aligned with Him, that's when we got problems. Our vertical relationship with God is the most critical thing for real lasting change, though. If the vertical relationship is not right, no change of lasting value will occur. So let's consider our text in regards to our vertical relationship with God, as we see first off the standard. Now, Jesus was asked what the great commandment in the law was in verse 36, and he responded with verses 37 and 38. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. In essence, we would maybe just sum it up this way, love God with all of your being, of everything that you got. And that word love is translated from the Greek word agape, and we're familiar with agape love, that self-sacrificial love where we're giving of ourselves without the expectation of return for the benefit of another, even to a great extent of price. And that's in essence what God wants out of us, is that we would give our whole being to Him. It speaks of placing God really at the center of our universe, making Him number one in our lives. And this is the standard in which God is seeking to conform us to. Because as we can see, this is very reflective of what Jesus Christ would be like, right? But basically that in every area of life, he would be first, and as a result, we would obey him willingly and joyfully. In verse 40, we learn on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Obviously, the second commandment is to love others as yourself. But all the commandments that God ever issued, the basis of all those commandments, all these moral laws, point people or cause people to love God or to love others. We're focusing on the God part right now. We show our love, of course, through our obedience to him. When we are in submission to God, that obedience produces peace and joy within. Because you're right with him. There's no struggle. There's no defeats. There's rest in the soul, and there's joy. That sounds a lot like the fruit of the Spirit, right? That's the abundant, victorious Christian life Jesus had promised in John 10:10. When things are right with God, by the way, then horizontal relationships go much better. And any issues between us and others can be resolved a lot easier when both parties are right with God, right? Even if one party, it'd make a big difference. See, the second commandment happens because the first has been acted upon. When you love God, you're going to love others. When you don't love God, loving others is going to be pretty difficult. Or if you don't love others, you're certainly not in love with God either. Because the Bible says if you hate your brother and say you love God, you're a liar. So it goes that way. But if some area of our lives does not conform to this standard, as we see here, God, again, is going to work to change it so that it does. As we see, secondly, what I call the slide. Now, when it comes to change, it's directly linked back to the fact, again, as I mentioned, that we are not aligned with this standard of God's in some area of life. In other words, there's some area of our life where we're not aligned with God, where we're not loving him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'll throw that in there. Some area. We have slidden from God's standards, and God wants to work change in our lives so that we get realigned with him in our hearts. And the realignment of our hearts to his standard restores the peace and joy that has otherwise been lost. There's an author by the name of Jay Adams. He says, whatever one's problems may be, there can be no change that is acceptable to God and in the long run to the counselee until fundamental positive change towards God has occurred. And that is crucial. Positive change toward God has occurred. In other words, we've come aligned with him. For example, many times we blame other people for our bad attitude, our bad actions, and our even negative thoughts. I'm this way because of so-and-so. Could be a spouse, coworker, relative, friend, stranger, whoever. But we are free will agents making those choices. We choose our reactions, right? But if we choose certain reactions that are not aligned with God long enough, those choices become a habit. They become almost involuntary, right? Sometimes we call it a knee-jerk reaction. Because that's the way we're used to reacting on the fly on whatever it is. And they become like second nature or a natural reaction. And as a result of that, we get this idea, well, that's just the way I am. I can't change. This is just who I am. Can't change. I'm just going to fly off the handle anytime anybody says something I don't like. I'm just gonna go and pout in my room every time I don't get something I want. I'm just gonna go and do all this kind of stuff, and I just can't help it. I'm just gonna blow it off, and people just have to deal with it. Yeah, people have to deal with it, certainly, but that doesn't mean God's happy with us. That doesn't mean God's happy with us. It's not that he doesn't love you, but the thing is, you're hurting your relationship with him if you don't get this stuff changed. And you'll never get close to God Because he needs you and I to get in line with him. Remember, the Bible says this about sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you if we are saved. In other words, sin doesn't have to get the victory over us. It doesn't have to rule over us in our lives. It doesn't have to be our continual thing that we fall all over ourselves into. And remember, we saw it last time that God commands change. We saw that out of the book of Ephesians, that God is looking to transform us from the old man to the new man by the renewing of the spirit of our mind. That we are different people. And that was a command. And when God gives commands, it's because it can happen, that we can do it with his help, of course. God gives no impossible commands. And this is one of those. We can change. We can grow. We can develop. We can become the people God wants us to be. We don't have to have this dominion. So this, again, to say my slide into these negative responses and these things that are negative that I do that are not aligned with God, I'm helpless, I can't get out of it, is a lie that we would be believing. If we're saved, then we have the power source to change. If we're not saved, okay, that's a different story. You are subject to your sin. You don't have the strength of God. The best that you can muster out is outward conformity, but under pressure, you will collapse and fall back to what you were. And for the Christian, if it's just outward conformity, under enough pressure, you and I will fall back as well. We're talking about heart change here. God commands heart change, and he gives no impossible commands. It would be very cruel of God to expect change if change wasn't possible. Be like he would be taunting us. Come on, let's change. And it's like we're trying, but we can't. We can't. In the case of our negative reactions towards people, what God wants first off is for us to get ourselves right with him. If something happens and I fly off the handle, first thing I need to do is repent before God and say, Lord, I was very pig-headed there. I had a really bad attitude. And I'm wrong. Can we admit that? Harder for some, I know. But we got to be willing to admit that we are wrong. That's called humility. That's why God makes us acknowledge our sins. Because he wants some humility. By the way, when you start humbling yourself before God, the grace starts pouring in. I know that's true because I've had enough of my own experiences. First off, we have to get right with God, admit what we have done is wrong, and that we're not aligned with his standard. We're not loving him in so many words. And it doesn't matter what the other person is or isn't doing. I'm responsible for my reactions. I'm responsible to do what God has said in his word. I am not responsible for that other person. They are responsible for themselves. But I'm responsible for me. And when I get myself aligned with God and get my thinking right again, then all of a sudden, I'm back in line and things have begun to change again from the inside out. When things are right vertically, God has grace and God has solutions that can be implemented horizontally. Without getting right with God first, without realigning us with him, without changing back or changing in his direction, the horizontal efforts will be in vain. They will be in vain. You know, when David committed adultery with Bathsheba, in Psalm 51, he is really a psalm of confession, but he makes an interesting statement about where his sin was toward. Now, we would think naturally, oh, it was against Uriah. Certainly, he did sin against Uriah in committing adultery with his wife and then having him killed. He committed a sin against Bathsheba, certainly. But he points out something for us to consider tonight in regards to what I'm talking about. David says, against thee and thee only have I sinned. and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. What it's telling us here is that the vertical relationship is very significant if the horizontal relationships are ever going to be right. And if we're ever going to change and be molded into the image that he wants us to be, we need to be right with him. We need to be right with him. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. In other words, he points first and foremost to God. Our sins are first and foremost against God, so the vertical relationship needs to be dealt with first. All those issues, whatever it is that you and I struggle with, it needs to be dealt with between you and God first. Sometimes the reason we're struggling is because we're not agreeing with what God is doing in our life right now. What he is allowing, because he is sovereign, right? He can allow things and he can not allow things. And sometimes he allows some things to go on that we don't understand and we really don't agree with, and we get really frustrated with him about. Now, we won't say that to anybody. I don't think I'm frustrated with God. But yet, if we're having a bad attitude, if we're struggling with it, yes, we do have a problem with God. We have a problem with God. That's where it starts. We have a problem with God. We have a problem with what he's sovereignly doing instead of submitting to it and getting ourselves aligned with him. That's the slide. But thirdly, let's talk about the stabilizing as we conclude tonight. Our lives will only begin to stabilize and experience genuine change when our lives come into alignment with God's standard addressed in our text, whatever that might be. Until then, the struggles are just going to continue to come, and they're just going to continue and continue and continue and continue, and they will go on as long as you live and I live, until we address this struggle issue. Can I say life is too short to be stubbing our toe on the same thing over and over and over and over again for years on end because we refuse to get aligned with what God's trying to do? See, that's tough, isn't it? Well, God doesn't mean it to be tough. It's our will that gets in the way. Our will just says, no, this is what I want, you know. This is what you should do, God. This is, and God's like, no, you're not the boss. There's times we've had to tell our kids that you're not the boss. And sometimes God tells us that too. You're not the boss. I am. You align with me. My way is perfect. Not what you think. God's not rude and mean, but at the same time, too, he is serious about this. Hey, the struggles will continue until we get in line with him. So again, I ask the question, is there an area or areas of struggle right now we're experiencing? I guarantee there are probably at least one or two in all of our lives. We're struggling with the way God's handling the situation. And we've maybe prayed about it, and I'll guarantee you probably what the prayer has been. God, change this to what I want it to be. Ever pray on a prayer like that? I know I have. I just can't figure out why God doesn't answer it. Huh. And I'll go on for a while, and then it begins to dawn on me, oh, maybe I'm the one that's supposed to change, not him. Again, heaven forbid, right? There's nothing wrong with me. I think if God could really show us where we were, and it amazes me that he loves us as much as he does. But we would, you know, when we begin to compare ourselves to him, we are so far off. We are so far off. But yet he loves us so incredibly that he even is willingly and patiently working this process in our lives. What is it you're experiencing struggle in? Could it be that we need to just simply get some things right with God tonight? And just say, Lord, I don't know why or what. I don't know. I have all the answers. But I just want to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Lord, whatever it is that I need to change, if I can't see it, and help me do it. I think those kinds of humble prayers really can do more than us getting all frizzle-frazzled, as I like to say, about some area of our life because we're just so stubborn and don't want to change or don't think we need to. It's no fun to live that way. And I've had my time. I'm not speaking as a holier than thou. I have had my own share of these. But could it be tonight that we need to get some things right with God? You know, maybe it's in the area of having to forgive somebody. Is there somebody tonight that you need to forgive, and you really struggle to forgive that person? And I don't know what it might have been, but tonight that's what God says to get aligned with Him, but we just refuse to do it. Can I say you'll struggle with that until you get aligned and get changed and come back to Him? You know, maybe tonight there's an idol in the life. Something that you have put ahead of God. Oh, an idol will always make you miserable. You know, when you know there's something wrong in the life, when you desperately need something and you cannot be happy without it. That's when you know there's an idol in the life. Because you've put that thing ahead of God and you're saying that that thing is subserves or I can't even think of the word right now. My brain's not working. It overrides God's ability to bring joy to your life. That's an idol, folks. And that idol needs to be cast down. It might be an attitude or some other sin that has just taken precedence over God. And we have to say, Lord, this is wrong, I know. You know, are we believing some things that run contrary to God's word? Unfortunately, sometimes God gets a bad rap when He doesn't give us what we want, and then we just accuse Him of being unloving. Oh, He just doesn't love me, I guess. You know what you're trying to do is manipulate God. Try to guilt trip God. You know, God does. People will take that bait. God doesn't take that bait. God does not take that bait. Hey, look. What I'm saying here tonight, I'm not trying to beat anybody up, but I'm just saying this stuff, if you can deal with it, you'll have revival in your soul. Sure feels a lot better than being angry, bitter, frustrated, sad, lose sleep, fearful, depressed. What sounds better? What sounds better? I like the joy. And I like the peace. But it's dependent upon me staying right with God and change, allowing Him to change me into the person He needs me to be. I was thinking about this just recently, I guess, but you know, John the Baptist said, He must increase, I must decrease, right? And I thought of that, you know, boy, if I was just all full of God, I wouldn't need anything else. It's my own stubborn selfishness that gets in the way of that, but you know, if I just had all of God, what would I fear? What would I need? I would have everything I need just in Him. But there's still some things God needs to work out in me, as I imagine maybe in you too. But wouldn't it be nice today to go home having gotten your vertical relationship right with God? That's only a choice that you and I can make. What is your choice tonight and mine? Let's take a few moments and stand to our feet.